got your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tonight. And as a body of Christ, we're going to talk about the benefits and the blessings of belonging to a church, the church. And I talked about Sunday morning about we need to understand what the church actually is. It's not a building, okay? It's made up of people, the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It doesn't live in sheetrock. It doesn't live in padded pews. It doesn't dwell just where air conditions are or stained glass windows. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the church, okay? But we do also call this the house of the Lord. And we call it that because this is where we assemble. This is where we congregate. This is where we come to be together and to form a body. We're all different members of the church or the body, but we belong to one body, okay? The Bible talks about that and explains that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about many members of one body. And you just look at your body, your eyes, your hands, your feet, your nose, everything. They're all different members, but they make up one body. And in the church, that's what we are. The church is made up of many members, one body. But they are blessings of coming or belonging to a local church where God has called you and planted you to serve Him, okay? And I'm trying to revive the thinking in people's lives in America that right now in America, church it's not a necessity. It's become, well, I can take it or leave it type deal with many in the church. I can take it or I can leave it. I can go to church, or if I don't go to church, I'll be just fine. I'll still stay strong. I'll still read my Bible. I'll stay home. I'll watch it on TV. I'll eat donuts and scrambled eggs on Sunday morning and sit there and watch televangelists. I'll be just fine. I don't have to go to church. That's the kind of attitude a lot of people have got these days. I don't have to go to church. Well, I heard one time that if you're married, you don't have to go home either to see your wife. But it might be helpful if you want to stay married, right? It might be a good idea. What do you think?
Amen.
So, church, it's a good idea to go to church. When I first got saved, back in February the 8th, 1992, before that, I didn't go to church much. I was raised in church as a little boy. We went to a little church called the Old Country Church. The preacher would huff and puff and blow and, you know, hi-ya. I loved that little church. That's the way I was brought up. It was a spirit-filled church. They prayed for the sick. They shouted. They run the aisles. They talked in tongues. They did it all. Very simple, down-to-earth church. But as I grew into my teenage years, and mom and dad got a divorce, I just went southbound, started running with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, and got away from the church. The pastor at the Old Country Church told me one day, as a little boy, as about maybe, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, said, "One day, son, you're going to be a preacher." I didn't think much of that. I don't know if he was prophesying, but that's what he said over me. Words are so powerful, y'all, over kids when they're little. He said that my life went so south that there was no way in the world nobody was betting that was ever going to happen. If anybody was betting, they were betting the other way, that Stacy would never be a preacher. The Lord actually showed my stepmom, Debbie, way before I ever stepped in the pulpit, and when I was drinking so heavy, doing drugs, he showed my stepmom in a dream of me standing behind the pulpit preaching. And she didn't even, she never would tell me that. She never told me that. She just prayed over it, prayed over it. And because she just told me that, I'd probably laugh. I'd say, yeah. You know, but as years went by, I got married, married Sophie, got saved, and after I got saved, the Holy Spirit just drew me back into the church. I knew that I needed to get involved, go to a local church, and get fed, mainly get fed the Word of God. I needed to grow. My pastor didn't stay on me. My wife didn't beat me and nag me. You need to go to church. You need to go to church. The Holy Spirit told me, you need to go to church. So I got up and made it a regular thing. I'd go to church on Sunday morning. I'd go to church on Wednesday night. I'd go to church on Sunday morning. Go to church on Wednesday night. It became something I wanted to do because, hey, I'm following Jesus now. So it's like saying, I don't want to go to church, but I want to follow Jesus. Those two things don't really fit. Mm-hmm. Because whenever you forsake yourself or the assembling of yourself together, the Bible says, as some manner, some people have, he said, that's not God's will to forsake the assembly together. Because we fellowship together. We come together in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, he said, you'll find me. You know, you can have church here. You can have church anywhere. You can have church at Walmart. You can have church at the prison and the jail cells. You can have church actually anywhere. But you shouldn't forsake coming together. Amen?
Amen.
I understand when people say, I don't have to go to church to be saved. That's right. You don't have to. You can get saved and never come to church. But it's a good idea that you do, because if you don't learn to grow in the Word of God and get strong in the Lord, the enemy will eat your lunch. Sooner or later, he's going to eat your lunch. He's going to take it. I've seen so many people backslide. Y'all believe in backsliding?
Yeah.
How many of y'all believe in that word backsliding? Some people say, well, there ain't no way you can backslide. You can't get away from God. Well, the Bible plainly talks about backsliding. And I mean, it's evident that people backslide. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by what?
It's fruit.
And if it brings good fruit, what's happening? They're following Jesus. They obeying Jesus. They're bearing the fruit that he said they would. But if they're dropping bad fruit, and bad fruit, and bad fruit, but yet they're saying, I'm a Christian, and I'm following Jesus, them two don't add up. It just don't add up now. I think there's more to being saved than just a confession. Just saying, yeah, I follow Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus. But if you're looking for fruit, and Jesus is a fruit inspector.
Yes.
He's looking for fruit. And if my fruit is bad, he's going to judge me by that fruit.
Yeah.
He said, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, won't enter into the kingdom of God. He's going to say to some people, depart from me. I never knew you. You said you knew me, but I never know you at all. So, Hebrews 10:25, I think I already have quoted it. But it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. How many of y'all agree with me? Do y'all see the church as today? Do you see it healthy?
Some, no.
Or definitely where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a great decline in Christianity. And even the thought of going to church. Most people can, I don't know, I'm just concerned about the condition, the spiritual condition of the church today. They forsake the assembly as the manner of some, but exhort. The Bible tells us, exhort one another. Everybody on this side needs to be exhorting these people on this side. Y'all need to be exhorting one another. That means encouraging one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. It's talking about the second coming of the Lord. If you think we're living in the last days, which I believe we're real close, nobody knows the day, the hour when the Lord's coming. But it don't say that you won't know the season. We're in a season where a lot of things biblically are lining up for the second coming or the rapture of the church. And the Bible says that we believe and know that that day is approaching. We need to be exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Keep coming. Keep coming, brother. If you see a brother or sister down and out and discouraged and thinking about falling out or backsliding, you need to grab them by the collar and say, hey, man, this ain't no time to be backsliding. This ain't no time to be thinking about going backward. You need to get all in. If you have to shackle yourself to this altar, come and shackle yourself. Tie yourself to this altar. But don't go back into that world that you came out of, because Jesus is coming. We need to exhort one another, encourage one another. Stay in the church. Keep coming to church. Be encouraged. Keep lifting your faith up. Keep building your faith. And that's what church is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about, if you come to church, the pastor or the leader is supposed to be encouraging you to follow Jesus. Not him, not the name on the church. Forget about all that. Think kingdom. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Because he's coming. Exhort one another. The benefits. Look at Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26, verse 8. Let's look at verse 6 real quick. You know, as a pastor, I'm just going to open up my heart. Sometimes we get in here and we prepare these sermons and we study for hours, studying. And allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because our job is to feed sheep. That's my assignment, is to encourage you, feed the sheep. Feed you what? The Word of God. Feed you the Word. Not feed you denominational stuff, religious stuff. I'm not feeding you opinions. I want to feed you the Word of God. I want to see you make it to heaven. That's my goal. Make sure y'all make it. Man, I don't want to get to heaven and say, man, I missed one. I want everybody that I can to make it to heaven. That's why sometimes my heart is saddened, because I look around and I see all these empty seats and I say, where are all people? What are they doing today? What's on their plate? Is it birthday parties on Sundays? Is it more important to go to the lake and go skiing on Sunday? There's just so many things that people just erase God and put something else in that entertains their flesh. And they have lost the genuine importance, the holiness of coming to the house of the Lord. I remember Sister Ruth told me back when she was young as a little girl, her mama used to have to walk to the train or the subway. Is that right, Ruth? And it would be cold, and they'd have to wait for the bus to pull up, and they would be waiting. But every Sunday, they would make that walk. They would sit in that cold, and they would wait to get on that bus, and they had to travel to church every Sunday. They didn't have a Cadillac to get into. It was not easy, but their mama got them up because it meant something to her. And look where Ruth's at today.
Amen.
Look where her children's at today. That spoke volumes into their life, which at that point they didn't know. But now that they're older, they can look back at what mama did for them. Mama was sowing into their spiritual life. Not just their ball playing, not just the things of this life. She was sowing, getting up to church so they could hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. So it makes a difference in families whether they were brought up in church or not. It does make a difference. The reason we're having such a huge decline in the church is because it started years ago in different families, and it's trickled down to where we are today, to where nobody thinks church is significant anymore. We can take it or leave it. Then it got to get in you that I want to be in the house of the Lord. Sophie's papa, Barrington, he went 20 years without missing Sunday school.
Wow.
20 years. He made a commitment to the Lord that wherever, if he went out of town on vacation with his family, wherever, he was going to a church somewhere to be in Sunday school. And for 20 straight years, not missing a Sunday.
That's cool.
20 straight years.
That's cool.
That's commitment. Where is that commitment today? Y'all say hallelujah. Yeah, this is good, Pastor. I enjoyed it. Keep going. Psalms chapter 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved. I'm sorry. I want to start in verse 6. I will wash my hands in innocence, David said. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Amen. David started off by saying, Lord, I need to get clean. I want my hands and my life to be innocent. He said, when I come to the house of the Lord, he said, I'm going to find the altar. Being at the altar regularly won't ever hurt you. Amen. Whether you have done something bad or not, just coming to sit with God at this altar will be a blessing to you. I remember when I first got saved, I'll never forget it. God finally moved me from the back row to about the third row. So he said, son, you can't stay here. He said, I want you to come, keep moving up on Sunday morning, and I want you to raise your hands and worship me. Because I was doing like everybody else. I sat on the back row. I'm like, man, I just got saved. Everybody knows me at the center. I'm just glad to be here, sitting on the back row. But the Lord said, I want you to move up, Stacy. And every Sunday I'd move up. And he got me like to the third row, he said, okay, you're good now. And when they started singing, he said, Stacy, raise your hands and start singing. I said, Lord, if I raise my hands, now everybody can see. On the back row, they can't see. They got eyes in the back of their head. I said, he said, raise your hands, start singing. I said, Lord, what are they going to think about? And he said, don't matter, son. Obey me. He's trying to teach me how to worship. Getting my hands up is a battle for some people. It's a battle for some people just to get their hands up. They don't know how many demons they knocking out of the way when they put their hands up. Amen. I just began to sing. And then once they got me up there, when the pastor would get done, Pastor Shoemaker would get done with the sermon, he'd give an altar call. And nobody would come. It was just dead as a doornail. Like we have here sometimes. Just dead. You got to have 14 words of knowledge to get people to come to the altar. Somebody got a kidney disease. Somebody got an ear infection. Somebody got this. Come on up here. You got to call out everything. Just a general altar call. Ain't nobody moving. And when he give his altar call, there wasn't nobody moving. The Lord spoke to me so many times that stage, just go to the altar and pray. Just go and pray. So I'm like, Lord, okay. I want to hear God, and I want to obey Him. That's just a simple little thing He's asked me. Go to the altar and pray. So I'd leave my seat, go to the altar, and I'd start praying. And then I noticed after I would go to the altar, it was like breaking the ice. Other people started coming. And then every Sunday, it would be the same thing. And he'd say, Stacy, go down there to the altar and pray. The Holy Spirit would tell me. I'd go back down there and pray. I said, Lord, after about 10 Sundays, I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm the biggest sinner in the church. I'm the first one at the altar every Sunday.
Or they thought since you were there, they could could all go.
Oh, yeah. I made them feel at home. But that's the way it was for me. But David said, you know, he said, you know, I want to go about your altar, O Lord. You know, you'll find an altar in the house of the Lord. If there ain't no altar in the house of the Lord, they got a problem. Amen?
Amen.
But I know you don't have to come to church just to repent here. You can repent anywhere. I'm not the kind of guy that's saying, you've got to come to church or you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, like I said Sunday morning, if you want to be on a travel ball team, hey, that's okay too. But just remember what it's going to cost you if you do it for 5 years and you don't teach them what the importance of coming to God. There's a cost to it.
Amen.
There's a cost to pay for not doing it. I'm just trying to say the blessings of being in church will far outweigh staying away from it. If you find the right place. Amen. I think this is a watering hole. This is a filling station. This is where you come get filled with the Holy Ghost. This is where you come get the new wine. This is where you get to come get the fresh anointing. This is where you come to get revived, touched, and on fire for the Lord. That's what I'm trying to do. Just keep us fired up, because that day is coming and it's approaching. We got to stay on fire, y'all. Our fire also has to be contagious. You know, when you leave here, your fire, you need to take this fire. If you have any fire here, if the Holy Spirit giving you any fire, take it back to your workplace. Take it back to your school. Take it back to wherever you are and let that fire burn on somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
We ain't here just to make it to heaven all by ourselves. Take somebody with you. Amen? Maybe grab and hold of this fire over there. Hallelujah. Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall over there on Miss May. She's ready for it. And he said, then when I come into the sanctuary, I come into the house of the Lord, he said, I'm coming here with the voice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Because anything God wants us to do when we come to the house of the Lord is not complain.
Amen.
We ain't complaining if it's too hot, if it's too cold. If we ain't complaining about, I don't like this song, I don't like that song, I don't like the preaching, I ain't complaining. Hey, come into the house with some thanksgiving.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back, the hair on my head, the teeth in my mouth, the eyes I can see with. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then he said, after I give God plenty of thanks, he said, I'm going to tell everybody in the assembly, in the house of the Lord, about your wondrous works. Which means I'm testifying. I want to tell everybody how, Lord, I was in the hospital and pastor come prayed for me, or sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so you sent to the hospital from the church and they prayed for me and I was healed. I want to tell everybody about God's wondrous works. It's good for everybody to hear what God has done for you. That's why when I say, anybody want to testify today? We should come wanting to testify. God done something for me every week. If I'm breathing, he's done something. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm driving around in an F-150, that's something. Because there's a lot of folks in the world walking. They would love to have an F-150.
Amen.
Or a Chevrolet. Anything, man. I mean, even a bicycle in some places. Somebody in Africa would stand up and say, man, I got a new bike. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And man, they happy. Looks like they got a $45,000 car.
Amen.
They got a bicycle.
Transportation.
But come to the house for thanksgiving. Come to the house ready to testify. And then David said in verse 8, I loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Where your glory dwells. If you're looking for a church, you need to find one that got some glory in it.
That's
amen.
Right.
You need to come to a house that got some fire in it. You need to come to a house that got some faith in it. Hallelujah. Believing, laying hands on the sick. And if any demonized come in there, you want to be in the house where the glory of God can fall and set the captives free. That's the kind of house you want to belong to. You don't want to belong to the funeral house, the funeral home, church, cold as ice.
You preaching good. Preach.
Man, I could you preach this in a dead church, you won't get one amen.
No.
They'll look at you like.
When did Nut gonna finish? But praise God, David said, man, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Amen.
Man, we need to be coming in here every, you know, church, every service is made up of what we're looking for in church. If we come here, like Steve says, every Sunday, if I ask y'all, what does Steve say every Sunday? Most of the time he said, did y'all come here expecting?
Come on.
What did y'all come here expecting? Because the thing about expectation is, if you're expecting nothing, you're getting nothing.
Right.
You're getting exactly what you expected. Nothing from nothing gets nothing.
Nothing.
Amen?
Right.
But if you come here expecting the glory of God to fall out, hallelujah. If you come here sick and expect to go home well, hallelujah, you expecting that God jump in here and touch you and make you whole.
Amen.
But you get what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to want it sometime. If I say, hey, we're praying for the sick this morning. Anybody sick, get up. Nobody moving. Man, you got to run over 3 people to get here. When you got that kind of expectation,
yeah,
to get up here, Jesus will meet you.
Right.
I never forget Lemmy O'Connor when prophetess Bobby Jean was here and she had a word of knowledge. She said, somebody's here got a liver disease. Lord said, get up. He finna heal you. And man, Lemuel was sitting about where Miss Joanne was. I'll never forget it. He jumped up so fast, it looked like a bottle rocket. Oh, when she said that, he jumped up, and when she got about 3 feet from him, she reared back her fist and hit him right in the stomach. Bam! He fell right there. Everybody was like, ooh, what did she just do? She hit him. She did. She hit him right where that liver was. Bam! And he went down under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he laid there. And guess what? He got up well.
And he's alive today.
His eyes were already turning yellow from hepatitis C. Ain't that what it is, hepatitis C?
Hepatitis.
He was already weak in his body, couldn't go to work. His eyes were turning yellow. And when she hit him, he went back to work the next week. His eyes turned back white. He went back to the doctor, and his blood results, blood work was well. I'm like, wow. But it happened because she gave the word. He jumped up and said, that's me. He didn't have to beg. Didn't have to plead. Didn't have to ask 3 times. When you're desperate, you get up.
Amen.
Okay. Look at verse 12. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. David said, when he goes to the house of the Lord, which he loves, and place where the glory dwells, he said, my foot stands in an even place. In the congregations. We're congregating right now. Whether it's 2 or 3, we're congregating. You don't have to have 500 to congregate. 2, 3, 40, 50, whatever. Small number. We're coming together in the name of the Lord. And he said, my foot stands in an even place. When I was thinking about that, I mean, it's well balanced. When I come to the house of the Lord, he said, I'm getting my life well balanced. I ain't too far this way. I ain't too far that way. I ain't too far in grace. I ain't too far in judgment. I'm balanced. I have a balanced spiritual life because I come to the house of the Lord. That's what people need, is a well-balanced spiritual life. So many people tilt so far one way or the other way. They, grace, 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 grace. Going to heaven, heaven, heaven. Don't matter how you live, live, live. You've got grace, grace, grace. You tilting too far to the right. And then some people, you're going to hell, hell, hell. Jesus is going to judge you. You're going to hell if you don't get everything right. You can't, if you ain't got long hair, if you ain't got long dread, you ain't got hair on your leg. You're going to hell, hell, hell. People leave out of church, man, they like, man, preacher said I'm going to hell. I don't know if I'm going to be able to live this life. You need a well-balanced.
That's right. That's right.
Word. Well-balanced life. Amen. I've seen people get so out of balance in their spiritual life, They'll come to church. I've seen all kinds of stuff in church, y'all. I've been in churches where the Holy Spirit was moving, and all they wanted to do was shake their head down. I'm talking about these ladies, where they have long hair down to the thing, and they have it in a bun. Mm-hmm. And they seem that they could shake it out. Y'all hear me? Y'all ever seen that?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm talking about, but that they were emotional, what I'm trying to say. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, you can be emotional and leave out, walk out that door, and the devil blow your house down.
Yep.
You got to get anchored in the Word of God. You got to have a well-balanced life. Because if you don't, the devil, when he come calling, you won't know how to say it. It is written. You shake your head down at the devil, see what he does. He'll be saying, well, that's impressive, but it ain't stopping me. You know, it feels good. Can you pray for my neck? Chuck something loose up here. We funny, I tell you, I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen people that shake their hair down be the meanest people on the planet of Earth.
Amen.
That's right.
And most judgmental and most critical.
Amen.
But shake, shake, shake. Run, run, run. Yeah. I'm like, you need to sit still and get you a life under in the Word of God. Because the devil coming. He's going to blow your house down. Because running, it don't say running, run the devil off. Amen.
Right.
But the written word, if you know it and you can speak it in faith, that'll run the devil off.
Amen.
That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
Wow. Now look at Psalms 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. We're talking about the blessings and the benefit of belonging to a glorious church. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing, David said, just one. One thing I have desired of the Lord. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
Amen.
David said, there's one thing I got on my mind. One thing I'm seeking. He said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It ain't gonna, the house of the Lord ain't going to be like the Super 8. Check in and check out. Check in, check out. He said, I belong in this house. When I come to this house, he said, I feel at home. I'm in God's presence. I'm getting blessed. I'm getting anointed. I just love being in God's presence, is what David's saying. I love it. I love it. I love it. Then you say, well, I can get in God's presence anywhere. Okay, go do it. Let's see it. I'm telling you, most people that tell you that don't do it.
Amen.
I've been to people that leave church and I go visit them and try to get them back in church. And I say, hey, man, you need to get back in church and hear the Word of God. And I've heard them say, well, I'm reading the Bible right here. I see them 4 or 5 months later. The devil done blowed their house down. I'm like, you know what? I believe you lied to me. I don't believe you've been reading the Bible. I don't believe you've been in his presence. If you've been in his presence, the devil wouldn't be destroying you right now.
That's right.
Come on, y'all. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Amen.
I've seen it. Now let's take a look at Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122. Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David said, I wasn't sad when it came Sunday morning. I was looking forward to it. And when it came Sunday, On Tuesday, I was looking for Sunday. On Wednesday, I was looking for Sunday. I couldn't wait till Sunday got here because I wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And when somebody said, hey, would you like to go to church with me? He was glad. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
We have lost the joy of coming to the house of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me? Well, I worked all day. Yeah. I used to work all day too. I used to have to put toothpicks in my eye to hold my head up after working 12 hours a day and coming to Bible study on Wednesday night. But you know what? I came to church. I had to stand up sometime to keep from falling asleep because your body gets tired. You've been working all day and you sit down for a minute, next thing you know, man, it comes on you. Best thing to do is get up. I don't care if you walk around the seats in the house. That don't bother me none. Over in Africa, I have dogs walk around in front of me while I'm preaching. Have women breastfeeding babies on the front row. Hey, you just keep on preaching. Keep on preaching, amen? But what I want to say, what David said, I'm glad. I'm glad. Your family ought to be glad on Sunday. You know, when we start getting, I've had kids. I know how it is to get kids up. I don't remember our kids giving us no problem after a while of coming to church. You know why? They were coming. Kicking and pawing and all that wasn't permitted. We're going to the house of the Lord today. We're going to have a good time. And I'm glad. I was actually glad that God saved me. I'm so glad that if I'd stayed unsaved, never had my children in church, they'd tell them what my family looked like today. No telling. No telling. They probably wouldn't even have a daddy. Because they'd have a daddy, but they wouldn't have a father in their life. Because I'd probably been disappeared or in jail. Something. But because me and my wife wouldn't have stayed married. I know me. If it hadn't been for Jesus, my marriage would have been dissolved a long time ago. I don't know if any of y'all like me, but that was me. It took Jesus to keep me married, I'm telling y'all. If I was still running with the devil, woo, been knockout, drag out every Friday night. And I'd have been the one getting knocked out. Anyhow, be glad when you come to church. Ecclesiastes, anybody been there lately?
No.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Ecclesiastes. Where is Ecclesiastes?
In Psalms.
Woo-wee! Now we finding some new books in the Bible. Ecclesiastes. That's a big word for a country boy. I used to couldn't say that. I'm getting better. I don't even know if I said it right then. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. The King James Version. I like what it says. It said, keep thy foot when you go to the house of God. Keep thy foot when you go to the house of the Lord and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. He said, when you go, what keep thy foot means, that you don't lose balance. That you don't get off track. It means stay focused. So coming to the house of the Lord will keep you balanced, keep you focused, give you a well-balanced life in the spiritual realm. It'll keep your feet balanced. Y'all ever get off balance?
Yes.
You lose your balance? Bible said, by coming to the house of the Lord, I can keep a well-balanced life. I can walk without stumbling. That's what one of the benefits of coming to the house of God and hearing the word of God keeps you balanced. And it said, when you come to the house of God, come ready to hear. Ready to hear. Ready to hear. Not ready to get up and go eat some chicken. When you come to church, some folks, I can't wait to 10 till 12. I can't make my belly just a roaring. It's my business. They ain't coming to hear. They can't wait to leave. They need to be here. Feed me. Feed me the word. Feed me the word. Give me the word. I want to hear the word. I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to stay here. Keep feeding me. I'm on track with you, Pastor. Instead of, see, you ever going to hush. I'm trying to feed you. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, it's just like naturally feeding somebody. If they are full, you can't make them swallow it. It's like a baby. When they get full, you put a spoon in their mouth, they'll spit it out. If you ain't spiritually hungry, the thing about spiritual hunger is everybody in this church has a different level of hunger. Miss Louise might be starving. This one over here, or whoever, wherever, may be like, I just came for a snack. I didn't come for no four-course meal today, Pastor. I was good at 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes into the sermon, I was ready to go. I'm full. I know the word. You ain't telling me nothing, you. That kind of attitude right there. You can't teach nobody that knows it, that knows everything.
Amen.
Amen. That's called a know-it-all. So, hallelujah. Let me close this media, and then we might finish one point more. If you're watching by media, it was our honor to come into your home. We love you. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that the sermon was a blessing to you. Our main objective here is we want you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him, give your life to Him right now. It don't matter what kind of life you've been living in sin, or you're an alcoholic, a drug addict, a homosexual, an adulterer, whatever. Jesus is the answer to giving you a life that's worth living. He'll not only give you a life worth living now, but He'll give you a place in heaven. He'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. But you have to commit your life to Him. You have to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He's already died on the cross. He's already rose from the dead. If you'll believe this in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Jesus loves you. Send us some comments. Let us know how you like the sermon. God bless you.